We're doing in Yaakov, we're in Brachot Tafyud, and this is really the bottom of Amud Aleph, the beginning of Amud Bet, and we're holding in a part of the story that really does not show up in our versions of the Gemara. The in Yaakov quotes this Girsa, this version of the story, and this version is also quoted in the Midrash HaGadol, a Yemenite Medrash. We had seen the story that Chizkiyo hadn't gotten married, for he knew that his offsprings would be unfit, they would be sinful. And his relative, Isaiah, the prophet, came before him and told him that God has upset at him for not having children. And Chizkiyo accepted the rebuke and asked Yeshayah to marry his daughter. He married his daughter, and God accepted his tshuva and extended his life. And then the Gemara told us that Chizkiyo was once taking his two children to Cheder, he was taking them to learn, and he was carrying them on his shoulders, and they were discussing how his head is fit for idol worship, how it's fit to bring a sacrifice for idol worship on his head. And when he heard this, he threw them off his shoulders, and Menashe, the son who ultimately succeeded him to the throne, lived, and his other son, Rav Shakeh, died. And he said about himself, Uchlech Elav Raim. So he lost one son, and the other son had already shown that his intentions were to go in the direction of idol worship. This is where we left off last week. Now, we should recall how the story began. In the very beginning, the Gemara had told us that God is the best at making compromises. That there was a halachic argument between Chizkiyo and Yeshayo. Chizkiyo held that the prophet Yeshaya should be subservient to the king, as we found precedents that Elio made himself subservient to a sinful king, to Ahab, certainly a righteous king like Chizkiyo. And Yeshayo held that Chizkiyo, the king, is supposed to show subservience to the prophet, as we find precedents that the king had shown subservience to the prophet by Yehoram, Ahab's son, that he went down to Elisha when he needed him. So God said, I'll make a compromise. What did God do? God made Chizkiyah sick and told Yeshayah, go visit the sick. And we said there are ways of understanding this in each direction. So who won the argument? On the one hand, Yeshayah goes to Chizkiyah. On the other hand, Chizkiyah suffers that God makes him sick. And in truth, in Halacha, there is this compromise that externally, everyone gives honor to the king. But internally, in the home, so the king is supposed to give honor to the Talmidei Chachamim, to the prophet. Publicly, the king is the one that wears the crown. He's the one that's supposed to be given the honor. But privately, the king is supposed to give honor to those that learn Torah. So, the story begins with this argument. Who's supposed to come to whom? And when we read this, we might err and think that it's an argument about pride. Chizkiyah says, let him come to me. And Yeshayah says, let him come to me. So about Yeshayah, we can't have such a thought. In order to become a prophet, we know that in order to attain prophecy, a person has to be modest. A person has to have good traits. So Yeshayah couldn't have been proud. It must have stemmed from Halacha. What about Chizkiyah? When we read about the pious King Chizkiyah, we might think maybe it stems from pride. So I always thought that the Gemara concludes with the story of Chizkiyah and his children. It shows us an important point in chinuch of children, and at the same time it also proves the point that Chizkiyah was not concerned for his own honor. It was a halachic question, it was a halachic argument. How do we see this? The Gemara makes a point of concluding the story with Chizkiyah taking his children to Cheder, taking them to learn. Let's think about it. When President Bush, Lahavdil, has to send his children to school, he doesn't take them on his own. He has drivers, he has butlers, he has the people who do it for him. We're talking about the King of Israel. He has servants. He doesn't need to take his children to Cheder. But the Gemara tells us not only was he taking them to Cheder, but he was carrying them on his shoulders. Think about it. The king is walking down the street to bring the children to Cheder, And he's carrying the two children on his shoulders, not one, two. So we think, what is the Simchas Torah? Even in Simchas Torah, we wouldn't expect to see the rabbi carrying his son on the shoulders. So I always learned from this Gemara, I always thought that the Gemara tells us this detail, possibly to tell us a few points. A, no one can give your children the love for Torah like you can. If you show your child it's important to you that he goes learn Torah, so then he gets the message. If you start sending messengers, so he'll get the message that the messenger gives him. There's no equal to the parent. If you take the time, you take him, and on your way you talk to him about the importance of what he's doing, and you show him it's important to you, that's the greatest message you could give him. B, when you take him, you could take him in a way that you're holding his hand, or you could take him in a way that it's fun, you could take him on your shoulders. And a person shouldn't think, that's belittling my honor, what am I doing carrying him on the shoulders? No, a person should think, this is the way that he's going to love to go and learn Torah. And C, I think this is a point that really, if we think about it, I think it's an obvious point. Chizkiyah, if he was fighting for his own honor, versus Yeshayahu represents the Torah, the last thing he's going to do is carry two children in the public square to take them to Cheder on his shoulders. If the main point in Chizkiyah's eyes is, I'm the king, I got to show honor, so I'll find another way to make the kids like Cheder. What do I need to take them carrying them on my shoulders? But rather we see that wasn't what was driving Chizkiyah. It was really a halachic argument. When it was necessary for his children's chinuch, then he took them on his shoulders. What was Chizkiyah's concern? Chizkiyah's concern was, my children are going to go off the derech. He told Yeshayah, I don't want to have children because God already revealed to me that my children will not continue in God's path. So I don't want to have children that will be sinful. So now what does Chizkiyah have to invest most in? He has to invest in their being Yirei Shamayim, being God-fearing children. So Chizkiyah says, okay, what's the best way to invest in that? I'm going to take them. Chazal tell us there was an Amora whose mother was told by the stargazers that he would be a thief. While his mother's pregnant, she spoke to the astrologers and they told her, that boy that you're carrying in your stomach, he's going to be a thief. So from the minute he was born, she put a kippah on his head and she always trained him. She said, always keep that kippah on your head. Always wear that yarmulke so that you'll be a God-fearing person. And the Gemara says it worked. He grew up to be an Amora. So from here, some have the custom, or this custom has evolved, especially in our day and age. You'll go to the hospital, Bezrat Hashem, when you have children, you'll see that the boys are wearing these little kippot in the nursery ward. So I don't think that custom is something obligatory. I wouldn't worry about it. But we do see that Chazal stressed, if you have a concern, then start working on that concern from the minute the child is in the crib. They once spoke to Rav Chaim, and someone once said to him, of course your children are great. They had you as a father. And after the person left, Rav Chaim commented to someone standing next to him, he said, it's interesting that he says that. He doesn't know how many hours I sat next to these children's crib, weeping and praying to Hashem that they should grow up to be Talmidei Chachamim, that they should be God-fearing people. Now, a person has to know that we're all responsible to invest in our own children. Even Chizkiyah, the king of Israel, when it comes to showing his children the importance of Torah, he knows that there's no substitute to the parents' own investment. What do we learn from this whole story? So we learn many things. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Nachman says, one of the things we're supposed to learn from here is that Afilu Bala Chalomot Omer Lo LaAdam Machar Umet, even if the one who's a master of dreams tells a person, tomorrow you're dying, Al Yimna Atzmo Min HaRachamim, a person shouldn't hold himself back from asking for mercy. We often have this duality within ourselves. On the one hand, we hear something bad's going to happen, we want to daven to Hashem. On the other hand, we feel like, it's over? Come on, it's a done deal. Rav Nachman says, what we learn from this story is that even when things seem to be shut, there's no future, a person should not hold himself back from asking for mercy. As the verse says, Ki v'rov chalomot v'avalim u'dvarim ha'beki et ha'elokim yira. After all the dreams and all the things that are vain. Ultimately, a person has to be a God-fearing person. So Chizkiah has the prophet walk in and tell him, God sent me to tell you you're dying. It's over. Give your last will and testament to your family, you're going to die. Miyad, right away, what does Chizkiah do? Vayasev Chizkiah panav el akir veitpalel el Hashem. Chizkiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to Hashem. Now we know that ideally when a person prays, there should be nothing between him and the wall. That's why Mizrach is always saved for the rabbis, right? They're in fulfillment of this in the ideal way. We say that if you can't help it, someone's standing in front of you, there's nothing wrong with that. But Chizkiah, he turned his face to the wall and prays to Hashem. Maikil, why does the verse stress he turned to the wall? We know that when a person prays, his face should be near the wall. Amar Hashem ben Lakish mikirot libo. The verse refers to, so to speak, the walls of his heart. Shnemaz, the verse says, may I ochila kirot libi. We see that the wall is the heart is referred to as though it has walls, it has chambers. So Chizkiah turned within himself to his most inner being and prayed to his Creator. Rav Levi amar al iskei hakir. Rav Levi says Chizkiah prayed to Hashem and he turned to God with the topic of a wall. What does that mean? Amar lefanav, he said before him, Ribono shel olam, Master of the world. Uma shunamit shelo aseta el akir achat ketana, hechayita et bina. We know that there's the Shunamit. We'll learn about that probably next week. I don't think we'll get to that this week. There was a woman from the city of Shunem who, whenever Elisha the prophet would come to town, she would invite him into their home, and she and her husband, they made him a special room. And at one point, she had a child. Elisha blessed her with a child. Until that point, she hadn't had a child, and then she had a child, and then that child died. And Elisha brought him back to life. So Chizkiah was just given a verdict, he's going to die. So he turns to his Creator and says, that woman of Shunem, what did she do? She made one room in honor of your sage, in honor of the prophet Elisha, and in that merit, you resurrected her son, you brought him back from the dead. Avi Abba, my great-grandfather, Shlomo HaMelech, Shechipat HaEchal Kulo B'Chesef U'B'Zahav, that he made rooms, the whole chambers of the temple, he covered with gold and silver in your honor. Alachat Kamav Chama, certainly you should remember that merit and cure me of my illness. So we see an interesting concept here. We know that there's Zchut Avot. We have the merits of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And here we see that Zchut Avot can refer to a great-great-great-grandfather as well. If a person has... What?
About four mothers?
Well, why not? Don't say why not. And we see that this is a recurring concept in Chazal, that one has to verbalize the claim. It's not enough that one is a great-great-great-great-grandson of a big tzaddik. If one wants God to use those merits on his behalf, one has to speak. One has to say, God, remember the merits of this great-great-great-grandfather. Look at what he did on your behalf. In his merit, you should help me out. That's what we see Chizkiah did. Chizkiah continues in his prayer and says, Zechona et asher italachti lefanecha be'emet uvlev shalem. Please remember, God, how I walked before you in truth and with a complete heart. Ve'atov be'enecha asiti. And I did that which was good in your eyes. Mai ve'atov be'enecha asiti? The Gemara questions, what did Chizkiah mean? I did that which was good in your eyes. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda quoted Rav, Shesamach Gula Letvila, that he would daven like Vasikin. He'd get up early in the morning and he'd pray just at the crack of sunrise. Just as the sun rose, the first second he could say Shmon Esrei, he'd begin Shmon Esrei. So think about it. Kings usually sleep late. Kings usually stay in bed, you know, they could afford to. Chizkiah is up early before the crack of dawn. He's praying when there's the first second of sunrise, he's already saying Shmona Esrei. So that's what Chizkiah was saying. I did that which was good in your eyes, that God likes it when people say their prayer, Kevatikin. Rabbi Levi Amar, Rabbi Levi says, what was the good thing that Chizkiah did? Sheganah Sefer Refuot, that he hid the book of cures. The Jewish people had on tradition for generations a book of cures, a book that any illness there was a passing illness, a mechush. We have different levels of illness in Hebrew. There's mechush, which is a passing illness. There's ke'ev, that's a pain, that's a throbbing pain. And then there's choli, and that's a sickness, that's a disease that really causes a person ultimately to die. So the lowest level is mechush. It could be a small pain. So. What? Yeah, in modern Hebrew these words are used, but they don't have exactly that meaning. Rashi in Shabbos explains it, I think, the way I said. The Gemara says in Shabbos, kol mechush velo mechush rosh. Person should have any small illness, but not a small illness in the head. Kol ke'ev velo ke'ev lev. Any throbbing pain, but not a throbbing heart. Kol choli velo choli ame'ayim. Any disease, except for the disease of the intestines, the disease of the stomach. Kol ra'a velo isha ra'a. Anything bad, but not a bad woman. Yeah. So the Gemara lists a bunch of things. All of this, but not this. All of this, but not that. So over there, Rashi breaks down the difference between mechush, ke'ev, and choli.
Yeah,
so,
I don't know if this is in medicine.
I don't know if it's used as medicinal terminology, but it is used in Hebrew. So, until Chizkiah's time, the Medrash says, if people got ill, they died. Once people had a disease, they knew which diseases killed, and they didn't have cures for those diseases. Chizkiah is proclaimed ill with one of these diseases. It's been a few millennia that the world's been around. No one's been cured from any of these diseases, and he has one of them. Not only that, the prophet has walked in and told him, God sent me to tell you, you're dying, it's over. And yet, Chizkiah doesn't give up. He turns to the wall and prays to Hashem. He says, God, I'm still around. You could cure me. Please cure me. I know no one else has been cured of this illness, but look at the merits of my great-great-great-grandfather. Look at what I've done right before you. Please cure me. And his prayer is accepted. That's the equivalent of someone getting some kind of deathly illness today that they have no cure for. And he turns to pray. Why does he turn to pray? He learns from Chizkiah. That's the tradition we have from David HaMelech. Down to the last second, so long as one can pray, one should pray. So one of Chizkiah's claim in prayers, when he's praying, is, God, remember that which I did good before you. What did he do that was good in the eyes of Hashem? So Rav Levi says what he did was that he concealed the book of healings, the book of medicine. What was this book of medicine? They had on tradition a book that any small illness a person got, they'd know how to cure. Now, when a person has a small illness, a person's bedridden. He has fever. He has some kind of virus. So we believe that a person's supposed to think, wait a second, God's sending me a message. Why did I become ill today? Must be there's something I have to think about that I have to work on. I have to do tshuva. If a person can just pop a pill and he gets better, then a person doesn't think I have to do tshuva. A person thinks, well, God sent the illness, God sent the cure, okay, I'll be okay tomorrow. So Chizkiah saw that even though people were getting these minor illnesses, because they knew the cures for all these minor illnesses, they didn't stop to think, I have to do tshuva. And Chizkiah felt that it was wrong for the people of his generation. And so in that generation, Chizkiah took this book of cures and hid it. So now, people, if they had a minor illness, they couldn't check, well, how do I get cured from this? They had to stop and ask Hashem, hey, help me get out of this. And the sages approved of this move. Now, this needs longer discussion.
Yeah,
this is really a Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Kabbalah
medicine?
So this deserves longer discussion. What's the difference between this and any medicine? I mean,
yeah.
We say a person's supposed to take medicine.
Yeah.
So why over here was it right to do what Chizkiah did? So we answered it partly in saying that it wasn't medicines for deep illnesses that are deathly, but rather medicines for minor illnesses. But it deserves longer discussion.
Yeah, but sounds good.
So now the Gemara quotes the major things that Chizkiah did. There were six major things that he did. Three of them the rabbis lauded him for doing, and three of them the rabbis disapproved. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanai quote. Vav dvarim, six things, asa Chizkiyahu HaMelech, Chizkiah the king did, al shlosha odu lo ve al shlosha lo odu lo. Three of them, the rabbis conceded that he was right, and three of them they did not. Al gimel odu lo. Three of them, the rabbis conceded he was right. Ganas sefer refuot vodu lo. He concealed the book of cures, and the rabbis agreed with him. Kitet nechasha nechoshet vodu lo. He took the copper snake. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a time that the Jewish people sinned. And God sent serpents that would bite them and kill them. And then the Jewish people turned to Moshe and asked, well, we sinned, how do we get a cure for this serpent? And God told Moshe, Asei lecha nechash nechoshet v'sim oto al nes, make a copper snake, put it on a tall pole, and whoever gets bitten will look up to heaven, look up towards this copper snake, and they'll be cured. And as the generations passed, they held on to this copper snake. It was a sign of the great miracle that God had done for the Jewish people. But as time went on, people started talking as though that snake, that copper snake, had godly powers, and it became a form of idol worship. People would turn to that copper snake and say, cure me, this and this happened, cure me. So Chizkiah saw that, and he took this copper snake and he ground it to dust. And the rabbis agreed that he was right. Chizkiah's father, Achaz ben Yosam, was a terrible Rasha. He tried to cause God's name to be forgotten from the Jewish people. He tried to ensure that the children would not learn Torah. And so he tried to ensure future generations would not keep the Torah. And when he passed away, Chizkiah became king, and Chizkiah was pious. Now he had the question, what kind of funeral does he give his father? So Chizkiah gave his father a very simple funeral. Instead of carrying his father on a royal bed to be buried, he had his father's bones carried on a bed of rope, like a poor man's bed. And he was coming to show he doesn't deserve the honor. He was a sinful person, and he doesn't deserve the honor of being buried like a king. And when he took his father's bones to be buried that way, the rabbis agreed with him that he did right. And on three things the rabbis did not agree with him. Satam megichon velo odulo. There were waters, there were sources of water surrounding Jerusalem, and when Chizkiah felt the threat that the nations would lay siege on Jerusalem, he closed off, he stuffed up these sources of water, so that when the enemies come and lay siege on Jerusalem, they would not have a source of water, and they wouldn't have an easy time camping around Jerusalem. And the prophet had told him not to do it, and the rabbis didn't agree with him in this calculation that he should close the water sources surrounding Jerusalem. At one point he was threatened, so he cut off the doors of the Heichal. He took off the precious metals on those doors to send to the Assyrian king, and the prophet had told him, don't worry about it, do not bother trying to bribe the Assyrian king. He did not listen. He sent this bribe, and the rabbis did not agree with him. He made a leap year. We know that the way we make a leap year in the Jewish calendar is that we add another month before Nisan. We add another Adar. We make Adar base. And he decided to make another month once we were holding by the month of Nisan. And there the rabbis didn't agree with him. So the Gemara questions, Umiletleil Chizkiyahu Achol Shazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. Does Chizkiyahu not derive from the verse that the verse states, this month is the first of months for you, Zeh Nisan Ve'en Acher Nisan, that this is the month of Nisan, you can't make another month into Nisan, you cannot change the month of Nisan, you want to make a leap year, do it the month beforehand, but you can't play around with the month of Nisan. So how did Chizkiyahu play around with the month of Nisan? Ela Ta'abed Shmuel, but rather his error was in a ruling that Shmuel taught us. The Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, "In ma'abrin tashana b'yom lamed shel adar, ho'il v'ro'oi lekovo v'nisan." Shmuel said, even once you hit the 30th of the month of Adar, we know that the lunar month consists of approximately 29 and a half days. So one month has 29 days, another month has 30 days. Now, that's how we play around back and forth with the months. In truth, day number 30 is the first day of Rosh Chodesh of the next month. But we call it day 30 of the previous month. So, when he hit the 30th day of Adar, he decided that he's adding another month, that the next month is going to be another Adar. And Shmuel taught us that once you hit the 30th of Adar, being that that day potentially could have been the first of Nisan, Some months have day number 30 and some months do not. So day number 30 could have just as well been day number 1 of the month of Nisan. So therefore Shmuel said, we applied the same rule. Just as you cannot make Nisan switch it into Adar. Once it becomes Nisan, you can't switch it. Even once you enter that day number 30 of Adar, which can potentially be day number 1 of Nisan, you can no longer switch it and say, okay, the next month is going to be Adar. You have to decide before that day number 30. And Chizkiyah made it into a leap year. He switched the month to the month of Adar on day number 30. He thought, we don't say this. We say, so long as it's still Adar, you can still decide what the next month is going to be. He did not go with this ruling that Shmuel taught us. So those were the six things that Chizkiyah did, three of which the rabbis agreed with, and three of which they did not. What we saw today was the conclusion of the story of Chizkiyah and his two sons, and the different lessons we can learn from that, and Chizkiyah's prayer to Hashem to heal him, that Hashem accepted his prayer. What was Chizkiyah's claim that I did good in your eyes? Either that he prayed like Vasikin in the first crack of dawn, the first crack of sunrise, or that he hid the book of cures. And then we went into the six special things that Chizkiyah did, three of which the rabbis agreed with, which was concealing the book of cures, grinding up the copper snake, and giving his father a plain burial. And the three that the rabbis disagreed with were the stuffing up, the closing of the water sources surrounding Jerusalem, the sending of the bribe to the Assyrian king, and the making of a leap year on the 30th day of Adar.